Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and yet I am led away from that, specifically away from that story of the Transfiguration that's found in the Gospels, and more toward the story of this transition from the prophet Elijah to his student Elisha. How confusing is that? Difficult, isn't it? And as I prepared for this morning, I was also led to a story that appears in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Let me read it for you, because I think they connect. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent strangers ahead of him. And on their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, saying, then they went on to another village. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me," but he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." An additional reading from God's word this morning. There comes a time in everyone's life, I believe, when we stop being students and we begin to carry on in the manner of those who up until then have been our teachers. It is a matter of picking up and carrying on where another has left off. It is a time of stepping out alone where before there was always someone there to guide us, to correct us, to make sure we were headed in the right direction. Actually, I think there are many such times in life. I can clearly remember the first day ever when I walked to school by myself and turned around and waved to my mother standing on the porch, seeing me off. Who among us cannot remember the first time you set out alone in a car as a new driver? Do you remember how it felt, realizing that there was no one sitting beside you to nag and to hold their breath or to stiff arm the dashboard every time you came up to a stop sign? As life continues, so do these moments of transition. Some of them are trivial. Some of them are profound and shake us to our core. Kids who once ran and screamed through the yard soon become the elders of the family. Sons become father to their fathers. Daughters become mother to their mothers. In many ways, life is like a relay race where one generation hands off to another. The secret is in knowing when to grab on and when to let go. When to accept and when to hand off. There comes a time in everyone's life when we must continue on by ourselves without our teacher. Today's scripture passage offers us biblical moments of transition, both in the 2 Kings passage and in that additional one I grabbed onto from Luke. We encounter here in the first one Elijah's departure from his student Elisha. Elijah the teacher, knowing that his time is short, sets out on a biblical, sentimental journey to Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan. Before he begins, he says to Elisha, "Stay here." But Elisha, sensing that the end may be near, says, "No, I will not leave you. As long as you live, I will not leave you." And he keeps repeating that. So when they get to Bethel, the company of the prophets whom Elijah has come to bid farewell, take Elisha aside, saying, "Are you aware that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" I can only imagine how annoyed Elisha was when someone intervenes in a moment of great anxiety and takes you aside to point out to you the very thing that is consuming your spirit with anxiety in that moment. "Yes, I know," Elisha responds. "Now, be quiet," he says. The same scene is repeated in Jericho. The same information comes from the company of the prophets. Elisha responds with the same command, "Be quiet, of course I know." Finally, standing by the Jordan, in a scene that connects the whole story with the Exodus story, there is Elijah putting his cloak across the waters and the waters being parted, just like in Moses. Finally, standing there by the Jordan, Elisha refusing to leave Elijah's side, they cross through the parted waters to a private place where the teacher and the student can say goodbye. And Elijah looks at Elisha and says, "Before I am taken from you, tell me, what may I do for you?" I can only imagine what must have gone through the student's mind. "What can you do? Well, don't go. That would be one thing. Stay here." "Can't we go over this one more time? I'm not sure I've got it right. Some things are still unclear to me. I'm not ready to take up this work yet." Those are the things that went through his mind. They go through our minds as well. What would you say to a teacher or to a parent? Or to a dying spouse? Was about to send you out on your own, and leave you forever. Elisha looks through his fear, and he says, "Give me a double share of your spirit." So in another story of transition found in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus journeys through Samaria on his way to Jerusalem, and we are told that he is not received very well. Perhaps the Samaritans could tell that Jesus' focus was not with them, but already looked ahead to the events about to transpire in Jerusalem. In truth, it would surprise no one traveling with Jesus to find no hospitality among the Samaritans. They didn't get along very well. In response to the rejection, James and John asked Jesus if they should call down fire from heaven to consume the Samaritans. An obvious reference to what transpires in 2 Kings chapter 1, where Elijah calls heavenly fire down upon the king of Samaria, just in the passage before the 2 Kings passage that we read today. Jesus rebukes them, and he suggests that they still do not understand the direction of his ministry. Then, in an exchange that sounds much like conversations I have experienced in years past with our children, Jesus invites the disciples to follow him, and they respond with a series of delay tactics. "Follow me," says Jesus. "I will, just as soon as I say goodbye to my family, just as soon as I finish with my family business." And exasperated, Jesus admonishes the disciples that in answering God's call, nothing should interfere. Jesus says to them, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Two biblical stories of transition. In one, at the moment of letting go, the student pleads for a double share of the spirit of the master. In another, the disciples learn that one cannot sort of follow Jesus. Once God's claim has been accepted, nothing else matters. In both, one could justifiably argue that the greatest change took place in the students and in the disciples. Elijah and Jesus are not the ones changed in these stories. Elisha and James and John have been changed and will never be the same again. Well, my brothers and sisters, for Christians, transition and transformation go hand in hand. Christ came into the world that we might be changed and that we might pass on the spirit of that change to others. There comes a time in the life of every Christian when we have to let go of the hand that has led us and offer our hand to another who may be just starting out on the journey. There comes a time in every Christian life when we must let go of the old agenda and finally claim the direction God has offered to us, a new direction, a change in direction, whatever those moments may be for us. In those moments, there is the danger that we have misunderstood the assignment. We may have learned the superficial and not yet grasped the depth of it all or the significance of it. The disciples, having been schooled in Scripture, recognized Jesus' rejection in Samaria as similar to Elijah's situation and wrongly thought that an appropriate response was to call down God's revenge, as did Elijah. But Jesus proclaims them wrong and tells them that they have more to learn. I call all of this struggle an act of embracing our spiritual heritage. And it is a process that takes place with every generation and in every moment of transition we ever encounter. What do we need from those faithful who have gone before us? The temptation is to just do what they did. But situations change. New circumstances require new thinking and skills. What is it that lies behind it? What is the fundamentals that we need to embrace? Well, I am convinced that what we need, as Elisha asked for, what we need is a double share of the spiritual focus and devotion that sustained our ancestors and created the world that we have enjoyed. We need to live in such a way that those who follow after us will recognize in us a spiritual depth that they will then want to embrace. Well, you can tell. Everything in my life is seen these days through a particular lens. I can't help it. All of this issue of transition and going on and what is it that's essential from the past that will sustain us into the future. All of this has been on my mind these past months since Terry's death. What do I most want to model after her? What heritage has she left for me and for all who knew her well? Well, I know this. She gave us the example of someone who could look beyond the difficulties of the moment and see God's hand at work in the midst of the present chaos. She could bring the best out of people. That is the quality of her faithfulness that I miss the most, and the quality that I so desire to possess, and in truth have only in small measure. If I had been allowed a moment to ask a gift of her in those final days, I would have asked for a double share of her spirit. For she was one who knew and lived, knowing that nothing in this life can separate us from the love of God, as we have come to know that and experience it in Jesus Christ our Lord. And there are times when I have a hard time hanging on to that. So Elisha says, before you go, give me a double share of your spirit. And so it was. And the world was changed. Thanks be to God.